During the rite of holy baptism, an infant is brought to the font by someone, usually a parent. The congregation prays for that infant and even confesses the faith on behalf of the infant. At some point during the baptismal rite, the pastor will take the little baby and sprinkle water on the baby's head while uttering the holy name of God. It's pretty obvious the baby doesn't do anything during a baptism, and some would object to that, saying the baby is too young. The baby doesn't have the full use of his or her reason. They cannot speak, and so it must be they do not have faith. This means in order to receive holy baptism, a person has to be a certain way and do certain things before they can be saved. Is this true? Does God expect us to come to Him first under our own power, and until we do, we are lost? Is that how it works? From the testimony of Holy Scripture, we hear in John's Gospel our Lord Jesus say, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot walk. You cannot breathe. You cannot think. You cannot believe apart from Jesus," if such is God's attitude towards us. And unless we come to Him first under our own power, He will not save us. If that is God's attitude towards us, then do you realize nobody would be saved? No infant, no adult. Forget about the aged person dying on their deathbed. No one. Why do I say that? Because sin is too powerful. Sin is too powerful, and our flesh is too weak. Unless God comes to us, and unless God rescues us, we are truly dead in our trespasses. That precious little infant brought to the font does nothing, and we should rejoice in that. Even the adults are instruments of God who brings that infant to Jesus. Jesus who clothes that infant in the garments of immortality and seals him as his own. Holy baptism is always God's work. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your ability. Baptism is all Jesus. Baptism is all Jesus. Washing the dirty, filthy sinner and by his word giving faith to believe in all of these promises, God gives faith even to the heart of stone. Seeing that little baby brought to Jesus in holy baptism, that's a glimpse of how salvation is for us. No one comes to Jesus under their own power. We are not forced to rely upon our own flesh and our own strength. Thanks be to God, He gives us faith to believe, faith to trust, faith to receive the glorious treasures and gifts that He gives to sinners. As the crying baby is brought to Jesus, so too the adult is brought to God in Christ. It's always Jesus who grabs us and renews us. It's always Jesus who turns our hearts to Him and deposits faith in our wayward hearts to believe and trust and rest with Him in His house. The reality is, all of us are no different than that little baby brought to the font to hear the gospel. We all need God to carry us. We all need Jesus to pick us up and take us to Himself. And so the gospel lesson this morning is a big problem for anyone saying we have to come to Jesus first in order to be saved, because that lost little lamb doesn't do that. Jesus goes to the lost lamb. He goes out and He finds the lamb. And He puts that scared, lost creature on His shoulders. And then He rejoices because He has found His wandering sheep. The sheep who left the protection of the flock. The sheep who is vulnerable to attack and prey for wolves and dead without aid. It is the sheep's fault. But Jesus goes after the sheep anyway, doesn't He? He doesn't leave that little lamb to die. And that lost sheep in today's parable, friends, it was on the verge of death. It could do nothing but be saved by the shepherd. Just like the infant can do nothing but be saved by God in Christ. When that precious little child is splashed in the waters of holy baptism, hearing the mighty gospel of our Lord. The gospel is good news of forgiveness and salvation, but the gospel actually does things. Like the gospel actually causes people, even babies, even people on their deathbed, to believe. God is the good shepherd, and he goes after the lost, the dead. He grabs them, and he puts them on his shoulders, and he carries them home. Infant, adult, it doesn't matter. God rescues the dead, bringing them life and bringing them to where they need to be. He is active and moving, just like the woman in this parable, diligently searching for just one coin. She burns oil, and she sweeps looking for the coin. Some might even say she's a little on the greedy side. What's one coin? Big deal. God is greedy for his people. God is jealous for his people. God is jealous for you. He wants his people. Your shepherd is not idle when a sheep is lost. And your shepherd cares about every single lost sheep. There is not one lost dying sheep your good shepherd does not care about. And he goes after them. Jesus goes after the lost. He doesn't sit back, arms folded, expecting the lost, condemned sinner to do the impossible, which is finding the light of Jesus when they are blinded by sin. It is always Jesus who gives sight to the blind. It is always Jesus who puts faith in the heart to believe and receive and find comfort in his mercy. The Pharisees hate all this. The Pharisees in the text, they're disgusted. They see these filthy, dirty sinners gathering and even eating with Jesus. They can't believe it, and so what do? They grumble. They grumble. And they despise the grace of God, going to people who in their eyes are unworthy of such love. My friends, isn't that terrible? Isn't it horrible to look at people hearing the word of God and you think to yourself, they're too sinful to be hearing this mighty word. Sinners, tax collectors, they're going to Jesus. And what does he do? He receives them. He welcomes them. He doesn't turn them away and say, go fix your life first. He receives the sinners warmly, gladly, and he is happy to dine with sinners. My friends, Jesus still receives sinners. He still welcomes sinners. He wants them, he seeks them, he goes after them, and he saves them. You know, we're all prone to wander from the faith. You know that, don't you? If you've been in the church a long time, or a very short amount of time, we are all susceptible to the temptation to wander from what God has given us. We all have a sinful side, a sinful flesh that wants to pull us from God's word to the pleasures of the world. Money can cause us to wander when we work hard thinking comfort comes from that full bank account. People can cause us to wander from the faith. Please be careful who you listen to, especially family members. Even family members can cause us to drift from the faith. Hence the reason our Lord Jesus is so stark and so strong when he warns us and tells us we are to renounce even family for his sake. And we're prone to wander from the flock when we think our sins are too great and we are too sinful and do not deserve God's rich, undying love in Jesus. wherever you are at, repent and take heart. Repent and rejoice. Do you know what brings joy in heaven? We heard it this morning. You know what brings joy? There's joy in heaven over just how many sinners? One. That's right. One sinner. Think of all the people in the world. Millions upon millions, right? There's joy if just one sinner is brought to repentance. And anyone who believes they do not need repentance is truly deceived. The Pharisees would have known that Jesus was directing his teaching to them. But those sinners gathering around Jesus could only repent of their sin and cling to his mercy. And you know what? God generously and freely gives his mercy. And he gives his forgiveness. And he has generously given his only son to die for them and for you. God doesn't want self-righteous people who trust in their own strength. Those who are right in his sight, those who are justified, are the sinners who repent and trust in his love and his forgiveness. My friends, God does love you. God does love you, and he forgives you every single day. He washes and he saves you every single day. All your sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future, they're already paid for. The shepherd who goes out after the lost sheep is the shepherd who is even willing to lay down his life for his sheep, and he has done it. Your Lord Jesus has taken care of your iniquity and your sin. Being baptized in his name means you are washed, not just on the day you receive it, but every day. Don't wander from the flock. Don't wander from the flock. God has given you gifts, nourishment to sustain you, protect you, and keep you. He has given you his word and his sacraments to guard you and help you, to forgive you and save you. Jesus still eats with sinners. In his Holy Supper, we come up here, not as worthy recipients trusting in our pride and our own righteousness, but we come here as beggars. We come to this meal with our mouths and our hands open, and God will give what he promises. Jesus welcomes sinners. Jesus wants, seeks, goes out, and saves sinners. He saves the lost. This is glorious news because it means sinners like us have salvation already. And it is because of God's redeeming work in Christ. Christ Jesus has you on his shoulders. No matter how hard life gets, no matter the suffering that you are going through, remember, you were baptized into Christ. And he has you, Christian. He has you. And he will bring you to his house. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and protect you and keep you in that name above all names, the name of Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.